Okay, let's just be real for a second. If you open up Twitter or X or LinkedIn right now and you work in software, or I mean, even if you just work near software, it is basically impossible to avoid the doom scrolling.
It is everywhere.
It really is. Every other post is some demo of a new AI agent, Devin, Claude, whatever the latest thing is, writing a whole application in like 40 seconds. And the subtext, or sometimes just the actual text, is always, "Hey human, hope you enjoyed your career because you are now obsolete."
It's that end of coding narrative, and it is it's heavy right now.
It's suffocating. And it's not just junior devs panicking. I see seniors, you know, people with 10, 15 years of experience actually wondering if they just wasted a decade on a skill that's about to be worthless. So today I want to tackle this head on. We're doing a deep dive into this white paper called The Human Element in the AI Era, and I am really, really hoping you're going to tell me the sky isn't falling.
The sky isn't falling, but I will say this. The weather is definitely changing. Look, that anxiety is valid if, and this is a big if, your definition of engineering is just typing syntax into an editor. If that's the whole job, then yeah, you should panic. But the whole argument of this paper is that we are confusing coding with engineering.
All right, distinguish those for me. Because, you know, on a resume or a job description, they look like the exact same thing.
So think of it this way. Coding is the act of translation. It's taking a logic problem, like I need to sort this list, and translating it into a language a machine gets, Python, Java, whatever. It's syntax, it's grammar. AI is an incredibly fast translator.
Right. It's fluent.
But engineering is problem solving, it's architecture, it's safety, it's understanding why you're building the thing in the first place. And the paper makes a really bold claim here. It says the role isn't dying, it's being promoted.
Promoted. So that sounds a little like corporate speak for more work, same pay.
Yeah, maybe a little. But the analogy they use, and I love this, is that you're shifting from being the rower to being the captain. And once you get that shift, AI stops looking like a replacement and starts looking like, well, a really, really fast engine.
Okay, let's unpack the rower because when I think rowing, I think grunt work, you know, blisters, sweat, just repetitive motion.
Exactly. For the last, what, 20 or 30 years, the engineer was the rower. You were providing the force. You had to place every single semicolon, define every variable, write all the boilerplate for every API. It's manual labor, really. You were moving the boat by hand, one stroke at a time.
And a lot of that is just not fun. I mean, nobody wakes up excited to write a CRU interface for the 100th time.
Right, or to hunt for a missing bracket for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the AI is. It's a high-performance motor. It excels at execution. It sees patterns. It generates syntax. It can refactor messy code instantly. It can row that boat faster than an entire Olympic team.
So if my whole identity as an engineer is I can type a binary search tree from memory really fast, I'm in trouble.
You're competing with a motor. You will lose. But here's the catch, and this is the core of the whole thing. You don't just put a 500 horsepower engine on a boat and let it go.
It'll just spin in circles or, you know, drive straight into a cliff.
It has no intent. The engine doesn't know where to go. It doesn't know why we're going there. It definitely doesn't know there's a reef just under the water a mile ahead. That's the captain's job. The new role is defining the destination. That's requirements. Choosing the route, that's architecture. And constantly checking the map, that's validation.
Okay, I get the metaphor, but let's make it real. If I'm a code captain now, what does my Tuesday morning actually look like? Am I just leaning back with a coffee watching code scroll by?
Not at all.
Yeah.
The paper calls this code navigation. So instead of spending 4 hours on a syntax error, you're spending that time asking deeper questions. Is this even the right system to build? Let's say you need a database. The AI can write the SQL in what? Seconds? But should it be SQL? Should it be NoSQL? How is this schema going to handle 10 million users?
So the AI handles the how, but I'm responsible for the what and the why.
Precisely. And the why just got a lot harder because the how is now almost instant. You can build the wrong thing faster than ever. You can build a beautiful, perfect bridge to absolutely nowhere in a single afternoon.
That brings me to the skeptics because I can hear them right now. They're saying, okay, fine, but if the AI writes the code, why do I need to know computer science fundamentals? Why bother with big O notation or memory management if ChatGPT handles it?
And that is the trap. That is the single most dangerous idea in the industry right now. The source is adamant about this. Fundamentals matter more now, yep. Not less.
Explain that, because my first thought is, if the machine is lifting the heavyweight, I don't need to be as strong.
Think about it like this. A junior dev writing code by hand is slow. You break things. But you break them slowly. you can kind of catch your own mistakes. But if you're a captain directing an AI, you're moving at 100 miles an hour. If you don't understand the fundamentals of navigation, you are going to hit an iceberg at full speed.
Because the AI doesn't know it's an iceberg.
The AI doesn't know anything. It's just predicting the next word. It has no judgment. And the paper actually outlines four specific risks of AI code that only a human with strong fundamentals can even spot. I think we need to go through them because they are legitimate nightmare fuel.
Let's do it. What's number one?
The first one is unscalable. This is a classic. Sure. You ask the AI, write me a script to scrape these files and put them in a database.
Yeah.
And it will give you code that works. It runs perfectly on your laptop.
Great. Ship it.
And then you deploy it. And instead of 10 files, you suddenly have 10 million.
Right.
The AI used the simple loop that just loads everything into memory because that's the simplest pattern. Your server immediately crashes. The AI solved the logic puzzle, but it completely failed the engineering constraint of scale.
And if I don't know about memory management, I wouldn't even know to look for that. I just see it works and hit approve.
Exactly. You'd be looking at the paint job while the engine's on fire.
Okay, what's risk number two?
Insecure. And this is the one that gives CTOs insomnia.
So it just writes buggy code.
It's more subtle than that. AI is trained on, well, the whole internet. And what is the internet full of?
Bad code, old tutorials, Stack Overflow answers that are kind of right, but not really safe.
Correct. So the AI often just defaults to the happy path. It writes code, assuming everyone is nice. It might generate a login form that looks great, but it's wide open to SQL injection. Or, and this is super common, it'll hard code API keys right into the script because it's seen that mistake in thousands of public repos.
So it builds a bank salt, but leaves the key under the mat because that's what it saw everyone else do.
And unless you understand security, unless you know what input sanitization really is, you won't catch it. The AI will not tell you. It'll just say, here's your code.
That's terrifying. Okay, what's the third one?
Unmaintainable, or as I like to call it, the spaghetti factory. If you use an AI to generate five different features, it might solve them in five totally different ways. Different naming, different patterns, different libraries.
Right, because it has no memory of the whole project. It just sees the one prompt.
It just creates this Frankenstein's monster of a code base. It works today, but 6 months from now, when a human has to fix a bug, it's impossible. There's no cohesive architecture. It's a house where every room was built by a different person who never spoke to the others.
And last one.
Incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds obvious, but it's about business logic. The AI might hallucinate a rule. Let's say you asked for a tax calculator. It writes perfectly valid code, but it uses the tax laws from 2 years ago.
What?
Because that's when its training data cuts off. The syntax is perfect.
Yeah.
Functionally, it's illegal.
I highlighted a quote from the report three times. It says, if you can't explain how the system works, you can't safely ship what AI generates.
That is the golden rule. You cannot validate what you don't understand. If you treat the AI like a magic black box, you are being negligent. You're a bad captain.
So we know the risks. We have to be captains. How do we actually steer? The paper talks about a new literacy. Is this just prompt engineering? Because I feel like that's a job title people invented to sound important.
I mean, there's a lot of snake oil out there for sure. But the source reframes this, and I think it's brilliant. In a professional context, prompting isn't magic. It's just requirements writing.
That sounds a lot less exciting and like a lot more work.
It is work. That's the point. The idea that AI saves you from thinking is totally false. It forces you to think with more clarity. To get good code out, you have to provide rigorous context. You can't just say build an app. You have to define constraints, interfaces, privacy rules, what happens when it fails.
It's like working with a very talented, very literal intern. A vague request gets you a mess. A detailed spec sheet gets you something amazing.
That is the perfect analogy. The AI is the ultimate junior developer. It has infinite energy, knows every library, but has zero common sense. And the source breaks down these instructions into two levels, task and governance.
Okay, walk me through this. What's a task instruction?
A bad task instruction is write a function to upload a file.
Simple, to the point. What's wrong with that?
It's so dangerous. Does it check the file size? The file type? Where is it stored? Is it checking for viruses? A captain's prompt, a good instruction, is something like, write a Python function for AWS S3. It must validate that the file is a PDF under 5 megabytes. It must handle network timeouts with exponential backoff. It must log all errors to our system.
Okay, I see. The second one requires me to know what exponential backoff even is. I have to design the system before I ask for the code.
Exactly. You're designing the system in the prompt. You're basically coding in English. But the logic, the hard part, is still engineering logic.
So what's the second level, governance?
Governance is about how to behave. If you have a team of 20 engineers using AI, you don't want 20 different coding styles. You don't want someone using a library you deprecated last year. Governance instructions are rules, like always use TypeScript strict mode, or never use these three libraries, or always include comments explaining the why, not just the what.
You're basically configuring the AI to be an employee at your company, to follow your rules.
You're making it a collaborator, not just a random generator. And this is where senior engineers are going to spend their time building the system prompts and the guardrails for the whole team.
This brings us to the big question. If I'm a student right now, or a boot camp grad, and memorizing syntax is a waste of time, what should I be learning? What does the future engineer actually get paid for?
We're moving from an economy of output to one of outcomes.
Mm.
The paper lists 5 markers of success for this AI-ready engineer. And spoiler, types fast is not on the list.
Okay, let's go through them. Number 1 is clarify the problem.
This is the most undervalued skill in tech. Before any code gets written, can you define what success even looks like? Half the time, the solution isn't build a microservice, it's update a spreadsheet. An AI will always try to solve it with code. A human has to decide if code is even the answer.
That's a huge shift. We're so used to being builders, but sometimes the best move is not to build.
Exactly. The AI is a hammer. To it, everything is a nail. You have to be the one who says, actually, we need a screwdriver here.
Number 2, design the system.
This is all about trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
An AI can give you 3 ways to build something. One is fast but expensive. One is cheap but slow. One is secure but hard to maintain. The AI cannot choose. It doesn't know your budget. It doesn't know your user. You have to make that architectural trade-off.
Number 3 is direct AI efficiently.
We touched on this. It's translating messy business needs into precise technical requirements for the AI.
It's like the engineer is becoming the product manager for the code itself.
In a way, yeah. You're managing a workforce of little automated agents.
Number 4, validate and verify.
This is the safety net. It's testing, of course, but it's also threat modeling. Looking at the AI's code and asking, how could someone break this? It's a shift from does it run to is it bulletproof? You have to treat AI code as guilty until proven innocent.
And number 5, this one felt like the mic drop. Own accountability.
This is the non-negotiable. Humans stay responsible, period.
You can't blame the bot.
You absolutely cannot. Can you imagine going to your CEO after a huge data breach and saying, well, ChatGPT wrote that part, so don't look at me.
You'd be fired before you finish the sentence.
And you should be, because you approved it. You shipped it. The liability stays biological.
It brings it all back to the captain analogy. When the ship hits the rocks, the captain doesn't get to blame the engine room.
AI wrote it is not an excuse.
So, pulling this all together, it seems like the education system needs a major overhaul.
A complete flip. We should stop teaching rote memorization of library functions. The tools handle that. We need to grade students on logic, on debugging, on problem decomposition. We need to shift from asking, how do you write this, to why does it work this way?
It feels like the barrier to writing code just dropped to 0. Anyone can write a script now, but the barrier to shipping good software just got way higher.
That is a brilliant way to put it. The barrier to entry is lower, but the barrier to excellence is higher. The risks are faster. They're more hidden. We don't need fewer engineers. We need a different kind of engineer. We need more architects and fewer bricklayers.
So to wrap this up, the panic, the doom scrolling.
It's misplaced. The job isn't going away. The tools are just getting way, way better.
We're trading our oars for a captain's hat. We aren't paid to type. We're paid to think, to design, and to own the outcome.
Your value is no longer in your hands. It's in your head. It's in your judgment.
That is actually incredibly reassuring. Sounds like the job just got less tedious and way more important. But before we sign off, I want to leave everyone with a thought. In the old days, the classic developer excuse was, it works on my machine.
Oh, a classic. The universal defense.
But in this new world, my machine might be an AI that wrote code you barely even read. So ask yourself this. If you're the captain and the AI is the rower, are you ready to take the blame when the ship hits an iceberg you never saw because you were too busy admiring how fast you were going?
That is the question. Don't let the speed blind you to the direction.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you in the next one.
Navigate safely, everyone.